Okay, we just had a little technical difficulty there. I don't know if this is going to be a little patchy. We had to cancel the call and start back up again. So, I just had another question for Jason, or maybe a comment. Didi mentioned something about the baseline being reset every time you look in the mirror to the point where you can't tell. Every day just looks normal because you see yourself every day. So, did you have that same experience? Are you kind of just used to this look now?
It took me months to adjust to it, but nowadays, yeah, it's completely normal. I mean, yeah, there's no real memory of that other Jason that happened before, the fat guy and stuff like that before there was. But now that I don't want to say I've arrived, but you know, after this time, you know, the baseline is what I'm at now.
Right. So now does it shock you to look back at a picture?
Shock? No. Disgust? Yeah.
That's a pretty strong word, but okay. But
I look at those fat, though, dude. I look at those fat rolls, that double chin and stuff like that. I mean, I showed when I originally posted it in my blog. My wife was looking. She's like, "Ew, that's the guy I married." I'm like, "Yeah, babe."
Jesus. It's like, sorry, babe. I didn't mean to make you vomit in your mouth.
God. Yeah, man. She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." We have a good laugh about it now. But, you know, just seeing those pictures is actually great motivation to not go back. Those times where I just feel you know, we just came back from an anniversary weekend this time where I probably consumed a good 12,000 calories in 3 days, all-you-can-eat breakfast and barbecue dinners and stuff. But you look at that picture and you're like, all right, well, let's get back on the train. Let's get rid of that extra inch I just gained. So, you know, it's great motivation to look back.
And so, and so now it's easier to maintain when you've already made the change. So, and that's kind of what, Howard, you say stuff about striking distance, always being within sort of, not maybe always at your contest shape, but always being within a few weeks of it, which is pretty, you know, it's actually more sustainable than people might think. So, but making the change is the first biggest step. So what would you, Jason, so like what insights do you have this time around that you'd kind of share with people? Even, I mean, the beginners, I know I actually did a couple of calls with some younger guys who sort of look at your pictures and Rich's pictures, and they sort of, I don't know if they get discouraged, but they feel like what the muscularity you have and then your conditioning, just it feels so far away to them because they're so young. And, I mean, what would you have, I guess, two parts. What would you have for advice for the younger guys as far as patience or whatever it takes to get to where you got to? Maybe hopefully avoiding some mistakes you made. And then I guess the second part is other guys, other older, more experienced guys trying to overcome the inertia to get going. So I guess we'd start with what would you say to the younger guys?
You know, you gotta, again, here's a very politically incorrect thing to say, but you know, if you don't find enjoyment in working out, you might be wasting your time. You got to find enjoyment in watching this little progress, watching that weight on the bar go up or on the dumbbell or whatever. You got to find something. Otherwise, that whole thing about people saying, oh, I got to drag my butt to the gym and all this kind of stuff. You know, are you wasting your time? You have to, you know, find something else healthier to do if going to the gym isn't your thing, you know. But if you find that you enjoy it, you're going to find that you're going to be more able to get yourself to get to the gym even if you don't want to go. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong. Every day I go isn't like, woohoo, let's get going. I mean, crap, man, I just finished 2 weeks of Rage, for goodness sake. Mm-hmm. By the time it's over, you know, people curse you, John, when they're doing Rage. I don't have the energy to curse you before, after, or during. But, yeah, there has to be some kind of love. I don't know if it's just this twisted love of hurting yourself or something, you know, feeling that you're pushing yourself to that limit or something, or finding that deep down just, I don't know, almost primal urge to get better at what you're doing. But you got to find something you love when you're at that gym doing it. It's going to help you get back there and push it every time.
So, yeah. So find some kind of feedback from one workout to the next, because let's face it, the muscle gains take time. And don't fall into the trap we all fell into of trying to bulk your way up to basically fat guy status and then having to come all the way back down and then deal with the emotional trauma of accepting lightness or being lighter. So you,
and you know what? Also, I hate to put it this way, but when it comes to training, it's all about consistency. You got to be consistent on this. You can't just, you know, skip programs from one program to the other and not complete one. And you got to be consistent at getting through this stuff. It's and that consistency adds up in the long run, and it develops all these qualities that happen. You know, you're persevering despite your problems. You're forcing yourself to doing something. You're becoming I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. You know, you're becoming, I don't want to say reliable, but you're becoming, my language is going away. I've been out in China too long. help me out, guys. There's
I know what you're saying. The consistency, you can actually rely on yourself even, is another way of saying it.
That's one way of putting it, but I mean, perseverance. I mean, that's one way of looking at it too. You know, I don't care what weather it is. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's over 90 degrees out here every day with a humidity that makes it easily over 110, 120 degrees Fahrenheit with the humidity factor and the heat index, you know, calculated in and stuff like that. And I'm still in the gym every day sweating and drinking enough water. I might have to get an extra Gatorade or two in on that day. But, you know, work around it. Don't make excuses, for goodness sakes, man.
Well, that persistence and consistency parlays into stability, which can be – it's sort of a launching pad for success in other things too.
Bingo, so, exactly.
If that thing is working and you've dedicated to it and it's moving along, you can do that with other things. You can kind of just like cut and paste that pattern and then cut and paste it into some kind of career or school or whatever else it is that you're doing.
But at a certain point, it actually becomes a part of you. That perseverance, these qualities that we're talking about, I mean, at least for me, it just seems to be reflected in daily life more so. It's not like you have to actually think about it and apply it after enough time of doing it. It's you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the message to the younger guys is this is part of what makes you up. So you have to – there's no like get doing it quickly and all of a sudden you're there. This is just becoming this.
And you know what? The whole thing is a growth. You're not just growing your body. You're growing your mind. You're growing your dedication. And you're actually, you know, helping yourself become a better human being. I hate to put it that way, but I can't think of a better way to say it right now.
Mm. Yeah. You know what's funny is I just thought of something. And there's a three-word phrase that anyone that's trying to get a better body, especially if you're following our stuff, there's a three-word phrase that is absolutely killing all of your success. It's killing and murdering and, you know, I mean, every visceral word I can think of. It's in the forums. It's everywhere. It's pretty much every forum post topic that comes across. And that phrase is, but I'm different.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, nobody's different. We're all made out of the same stuff.
If you can get
DDD, he's the snowflake.
Right. But that's it's incredible. And it doesn't stop here. It goes, I mean, and it's kind of all across the board in almost everything. But more specifically in getting your body better, I mean, people thinking they have thyroid problems or thinking all this other stuff, it always comes around to, but I'm different. And instead, like all of the people that win these contests, I mean, Jason's done it twice. I mean, everybody that does it, they follow the proven blueprint and they just accept the fact that they're not different and there's a specific blueprint that they can go. See, and now it's even better because, you know, we've got the blueprint as far as the workouts are concerned, but now we also have the proven blueprints of the people that have actually won where you can take these common threads, because there are common threads. Common threads are doing the workouts exactly the way they're laid out, virtually no cardio, cutting calories, you know, dramatically if you're overweight.
Pushing hard, you know, in the gym.
Pushing hard in the gym. Right, exactly. I mean, you're deciding. So there's like five things that are these primary drivers in this blueprint that anybody listening can say, okay, if I just do these five things exactly the way they're laid out, don't try to add anything else. Don't try to make everything different. Don't try to make it complicated. This is the blueprint. It's given to me. This is the roadmap to get there.
And they're principles, not rules. So that means your individuality is going to show through regardless. So, like, for instance, Didi, he had to adjust the way he was eating throughout it because he moved to somewhere where he was going to be surrounded by food for a stretch of 5 weeks, and he already knew. He's like, man, that's going to be tough. So he adjusted his calories before and after it. So don't worry, everyone is different, and everyone's going to have their way of dealing with it, but the idea is we've laid the principles out, and then you apply them to your life. So yeah. they're going to work, and there is a bit of adjusting, so... But I think people misinterpret that as the I'm different to the point where it won't work. It's everyone can make them work. It's just a bit of adjusting.
Yeah.
So what's really funny is that when people go buy a program, I can speak this one from myself personally. It's like you look for something structured, you look for something to follow that I don't have to I hate to say this, but I don't have to think about it. It's right there. And when we get it, we gotta change it for some reason. I don't get it, but I was there too. I don't want to do it that way. I know I bought this structured program, but, I just don't want to do it that way.
The most effective train – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the most effective training I've ever done, and it was when I was following programs. Like the first time I'd always made my own programs and just experimented like forever. And then I joined up with the powerlifting team, and they're like, no, you're doing this exactly how it's laid out. And I'm like, oh, okay. And there was one set where I stopped one rep short, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I couldn't get the next one. He's like, no, you're not done. You have to do the next rep. I'm like, you serious? And he's like, oh, yeah, you have to lie down, and I don't care if you have to do it like one at a time. You still have to do them all. And that's when I realized, oh, that's when I really became educated in the concept of like, all of it has to be completed. Otherwise, the next day we come in, you're actually not ready for that next day. So, because you haven't finished this day. And he's like, the program only works if you follow, it's like each day has to be complete no matter what it takes. So sometimes we're in the gym for 2.5 hours just to get through the day. But that's, he's like, well, what are you doing here? Are you actually following this program or are you just kind of working out? And I'm like, oh, and that's where I learned the training versus working out. And I'm like, okay, I get it. So even if it says 5 sets of 5, but it takes me 7 sets of whatever 5s and 3s just to somehow get the weight up, it has to be done. And that's when I was like, oh, okay. And then once you could do the actual program 100% done, then only at that point can you decide, can I do more than that or do I move it around? But you have to actually do it first, like we were saying, the baseline. Do it as described first. Otherwise, you're not getting what it's supposed to be doing for you. It's like, because if you're not doing it, then how'd you expect to get the results it was designed for?
Yeah, so
here's another perspective on that. It has nothing to do with working out, but it's kind of an analogy of what happened to me this past weekend. Elle and I went to Kansas City for the 4th of July, and we were visiting a guy who had just moved into town. And throughout the whole time we were there, I was using my phone and the GPS on my phone for us to get places because, he's only been there about a month. And on the last day, we were going to go out to eat somewhere, and he thought he knew where he was going. And so I was like, hey, you want to use GPS? And he was like, no, man, I got it. And so after 30 minutes of riding around and going down all these back alley passes and wrong ways down one-way streets and all this stuff, he finally looks at me and he's like, hey, man, can you look this thing up for me? And literally, within looking it up on GPS, we were there in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically...
Why wouldn't you use a map if there's one there?
Yeah, we had the means to get there within, 5 minutes from where we started. But we ended up taking 45 minutes to get there just because we refused to use the blueprint that we had in front of us.
I think it's like a male... I think it's part of the male, like, never need a map because I know better. I think guys do that with working out. They do it with all kinds of stuff. There's like, no one's going to tell me how to do this. I'll do it myself. Like, sure.
I'll figure it out myself and it'd be great. You figure it out yourself.
But even the greatest athletes have a coach.
Like, sure, you don't realize that.
You can have all the potential and all the push and all of the desire and drive, but if you don't know where to place it, you're just sort of a little tornado spinning around doing nothing. Like, it's someone... Almost everyone has someone who helps them direct their attention and effort.
Yeah. I'll tell you the one perspective that – I was the same way, and I've been the same way in a lot of different things. I've always thought that I had the answers and I knew what I was doing. And I remember I actually went into a meeting one time with a bunch of high-level guys in business. And you know, these guys are talking or whatever, and I was, you know, kind of putting my stuff in. And finally, I sat back and thought about it, and I was like, man, I really don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about to a certain degree, but these guys were so much above and beyond where I was at. I was trying to basically, you know, wax prolific to kind of be impressive and act like I belonged, but in actuality, right, all I was doing was showing how much I did not know.
Did you get like an obvious look, or did it just get awkward and you're like, uh-oh, I shouldn't be opening my mouth?
No, the guys were cool and everything like that, and nobody said anything. But it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we're kind of beyond that, dude. And you know, nobody was rude or anything. But I just kind of sat back and I just had the realization. I was like, damn. I was like, here I am. I'm in a position right now to learn a lot from people that are way beyond where I am. And so I need to drop my ego, suck it up, and just sit there and listen and ask questions and quit worrying about looking like I don't know what I'm doing. Because here's what I figured out. And it comes with working out, it comes with life, it comes with business, it comes with relationships, it comes with everything. It's like the farther and farther down the path I go, you don't learn more. It's you start to figure out what you don't know. So it's like the more you don't know, you become educated in what you don't know more. It's like, so you never learn everything. It's like you learn something and then another door opens and it's like it just spreads out with all this other stuff that you don't know. And you're like, shit. And so then you walk forward a little bit more and then next thing you know, it opens up and there's like all this other stuff you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's anybody who studies any field will say that. They're like, learning just gets you to the point of realizing how much you still don't know.
Yeah,
It reminds me of the old saying where it's like it's better to keep your mouth shut and look like a fool than to open it and remove all disbelief or all
all doubt.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, I mean I've done it. I mean, and I think that's what's going on with a lot of people. I mean, it's happened to me a lot of times, and I just kind of now it's hard. You had to fight it. Because there's still this competition with guys.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a male thing. I don't think too many girls do that.
Yeah, I mean, very, very few guys. I mean, it's like the time I was at a seminar. I think I've told this story before where the guy, you know, it was Evan Pagan, David D'Angelo. Guys probably know who he is. I was at the seminar, and a guy walks up, and he's asking Evan on the side. He's like, hey, you know, here's what I'm doing, blah, 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 you know. What do you think? Because he was taking kind of Q&A. And Evan was like, well, here, from my perspective, you should probably look at this, and do this. And after getting this free advice on how to change something and possibly make something better, the guy started arguing with him about why what he was doing was right.
Yeah, arguing with Evan Pagan.
That's my old email, John.
One of the most successful guys in that whole industry.
Right.
And he's arguing, like, why are you even there? If you're going to talk to that guy, why would you even show up?
He said, dude, he said, if what you're doing is working so well, why did you even ask me this question?
Well, did he say that right in front of everybody?
Yeah.
Well, that's what that guy needed at that moment.
Well, no, everybody was looking at it back and forth. I mean, everybody's like, really? What the hell? And why is this guy doing this? And he just called it out. And the guy was like, he kind of hung his head and he's like, you're right. Mm-hmm. And I guess that kind of snapped him out of it. But
well, that's the tough love. It just sort of has to.
Sure. But it's kind of the same thing. That's kind of the same things that we do, you know, in the forums and just through these podcasts and things like that. I mean, it's, you know, the blueprints and stuff, they're there, man.
Yeah, just.
And Jason's there. I mean, he's done all this stuff. That's kind of the thing that's really funny is that. Then that's the thing I like about Jason. That I didn't like about him at the very beginning. It's that crazy stubbornness that didn't allow you to do anything with us for a whole year, even after you bought. But then, you know, once you kind of got that grasp and belief, you ran with it. So you've got a really interesting perspective on what a lot of guys are going through as far as all this stuff that you bought, nothing really being able to take action on. And so that's why I just wish you don't have to listen to us. I mean, you should, but you don't have to. I mean, you can listen to Jason because he has been in the exact shoes, probably far beyond what everybody else has been through.
Which brings me to my next question, or request. What would you, now that we've sort of given some advice to the younger guys, what would you say to the older guys?
You got to work within the constraints of your life. You know, as guys get older, we have other responsibilities. We get married, we get jobs, we get all this kind of stuff. You got to cut away the baloney. You got to cut away the stuff that's not necessary, and focus on what's most important. And whether that's, you know, whether we're talking about in relationships or we're talking about in terms of training, in terms of, you know, well, I got to keep my fat, carbs, and protein in appropriate manner and appropriate percentages and all that kind of stuff. Forget all that mess. Let's simplify things, because it only gets more complicated over time.
So it's not as much. So it's really just the constraints of life and learning to balance it.
Exactly. We can only do the best we can do, you know. And let's be really honest. I mean, if it's a time constraint, for example, sit back, take an honest look at yourself. Are you spending too much time on the net? Are you spending too much time on TV or whatever it is? Do you really have that much time do you really have as little time as you say you have? Or is it just the illusion you've put upon over yourself? We like to fool ourselves into saying that we're too busy and all this stuff, when in fact it just takes a little organizational skills. It takes a little bit of focus. Sometimes we might have to cut away a little fat, no pun intended to those guys who are in burn or anything like that, but we might have to cut away a little something.
And I'll sort of take the other side of that. Don't spend too much time in the gym and have that get in the way of a relationship or a career or something else. Like, there's a balance
in
both directions.
Absolutely not. Enjoy life. You know, do the things that you need to do. Life is not in the gym, guys.
Well, I guess that's where we're getting, even though, this whole thing is about working out, it's not about turning it into your job. It's about getting it done efficiently.
Absolutely.
Yes, because people always keep coming up with, like, other things they want to try to do. And it's okay if you're comfortable there 6 days a week, literally because you just need to step in for half an hour and just sort of get the blood flowing. That's fine. But it's not – your career isn't in the gym. It's a tool to get us into the shape we want.
Yeah. Well, you know, personally, I do 6 days a week when I can, but my schedule allows for that. You know, my work schedule and everything else, I'm able to fit it in. It's not like it's being forced in or anything like that. It's, you know, we can only do the best we can do. Some things just aren't worth sacrificing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
go ahead.
Well, and physical activity, actually moving around, that's something you should do every day. There's almost never a reason for an entire day to go by without getting up and moving around. Now, the scale of it being a walk all the way up to a rage workout, I guess, would be the two opposite ends of the spectrum. That's where kind of I came in and sort of designed out what I think we should do with our activity portion of our day. You know, and that's how I end up with a 4 day a week workout that you can kind of, you know, and that, you know, that's the thing. But every day you got to move around a bit. And then from there, it's just you decide, you know, how much of that movement is targeted for building and how much of that movement is literally just moving to get your mind going, just to de-stress. And that's, like we said, fit it in. If 5 days or 4 days is really all you have, that's fine. Don't sacrifice other parts of your life just because you think you really, really need that fifth and sixth day just to
progress.
Yeah. It's always a balance.
Yeah. Sure. One thing I keep in mind a lot of times is this whole quest of perfection. And, you know, it's like, don't confuse the quest for perfection with
obsession.
Perfection with you actually procrastinating. Because a lot of times that's typically what it is, well, I need to find the exact right one, and I'm researching and I'm trying to tweak it just right before I start. Or even it's the same thing with, I'm waiting for the contest to start so that I can win. You know, don't time things, and don't convince yourself that you're in this quest to find the perfect plan just to kind of cover up some type of procrastination of you taking action, because a lot of times that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. Even if it's you're not actively thinking that, subconsciously that's kind of what it is. And if you don't mm-hmm. step forward and actually do something, I mean, it's okay to keep researching and tweaking and stuff like that, but do mm-hmm. it as you're progressing. It's like I'm reading this thing on it's called a 33 Laws of War, and it's talking about negotiating, and it's kind of the same thing. This guy says, and in all of the grand, you know, battles and stuff like that, when negotiations come across, he goes, never negotiate unless you're still moving forward with your battle. So never negotiate mm-hmm. when the battle's stopped. You got to keep pushing forward the battle and negotiate then. So it's kind of the same thing with yourself, is that you keep pushing forward and doing what you're doing, and then you negotiate with yourself on what you need to change. But don't do it from a static. Don't negotiate with yourself when you're static. You have to be dynamic. You have to be moving and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really have much else. Jason, do you have anything you wanted to say that's not like prompted with a question?
Well, I'll just say this. You know what? Let's just keep it simple, guys. You know, there's no need to overcomplicate things. We love to do it for whatever reason. Let's just, you know, keep things as simple as possible. You know, it takes away the stress. It takes away all the wasted time and energy and all that stuff. I mean, keep it simple, but that doesn't mean that it's easy.
Yeah, and you're living proof. It's simple works.
Yeah, I'm surprised you actually agreed to be up here because you're winning all this money. I mean, I wouldn't be giving away all my easy secrets.
Hey, I'm not in any more competition, so, you know. I was actually worried on the coaching call. I was like, I sent John a message after the one coaching call before the end of the transformation. I'm like, dude, I'm giving away all my secrets here. John's like, dude, but you got an advantage over them, and I didn't quite get what that advantage was. But what was it? It was the momentum. I had already worked on it. I had already tweaked it all out, and I didn't know it until it was all over.
Yep.
There's so much progress that happens that we're not even seeing, you know? Even mm-hmm. as we live our day-to-day lives and stuff like that, we don't see all the progress going on. That happens over time. And it's just going to continue for however long we're living.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. It's all about putting yourself in a position to find the grease, what I call the grease slide. So you push forward, you move, you tweak, and it might take some time, but sooner or later you find that grease slide where it just flows. You get this, you know, you get this methodology in your life that works for you, and then you just hammer it. You push the gas, and that's how it happens with almost everything. You know, you're talking about momentum. I mean, it happens in business. I mean, you can look at kind of the growth patterns of business, how they're kind of exponential, but it's almost like once people struggle along until they find this, what's called their optimum selling strategy. And it takes them a while to do. But once they find it, it's like, boom, they take off. Mm-hmm. Same thing with sites.
And then
like
that Facebook. Energy. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say it's the same thing like sites like Facebook and Twitter. I mean, just sites like people know. I mean, these sites started out slow until they hit this critical mass. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom. And it's like the grease slide. It just goes. And momentum just carries it off. And it's ridiculous. And that's what happens with all this stuff. You never, very rarely will you ever start out, you know, with the correct answer, the perfect answer to your problem. You know, you move, you tweak, you move out of the way, you kind of retreat a little bit, you go forward, you move and jive, and then all of a sudden you hit the grease slide and it just goes.
I'll tell you what, when I finally got after the second competition, I was really nervous, like, well, what do I do now? I got to the goal. Now, how do I adjust back to, you know, life as a quasi-normal person? And that was really unnerving. But, you know, I guess the only way to say it, it becomes an art. It just becomes a part of your life, you know?
Sure.
Don't worry about what happens after you reach the golden ratio or you got your six-pack or whatever. You got plenty of time to worry about that. Don't worry about what if, what if, what if, what if directs our focus from the now.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And once you're there, the answer or what to do is you don't even need to know that until you're there. And then you can start thinking about it. It's almost like what Howard just said about negotiate. Why even negotiate with yourself what you're going to do once you're in a golden ratio if you're not in one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about having confidence in yourself to that's why we talk about core confidence a lot, and you know, I probably need to do a piece really distinguishing core confidence and situational confidence and things like that, because you know, it's like, I think it's Yishin, I think that's his name, was talking about where he was going through and buying a lot of these products and stuff to help him be more social. But he finally, once he started getting his body in shape, it finally gave him the guts to actually use a lot of the material that he was getting, which is great. I mean, but that tends to happen. But that's why I like what we do, because it inherently, you know, develops this core confidence and almost this self-trust in yourself, because you're actually doing something, and it translates across the board to pretty much every area of your life. And I can't think of anything else that even has remotely that type of kind of visceral effect on somebody's life as getting in good shape. I mean, even money. I mean, I know guys with tons of money that don't have, you know, what I would consider a core confidence, but most of the guys I know that are in shape have this, it's almost like this glowing confidence about them that they can do, they have a feeling that they can, whatever comes across them in life, they can handle it. They might not be comfortable with it, but they know they can handle it. And that's a powerful feeling, to know that, you know, something's going to come across in your life, but you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't understand these guys who make it to like anything beyond teenage or early 20s who still don't really know how to act around women. I have an interesting story. A girl I know, she's a fitness competitor. She, you know, she's attractive. She knows her way around the gym and stuff. And some guy who's was checking her out at the gym. He's a dentist. I don't know. He had a lot of money as far as money goes in career. He had career status and money, but you know, not much to speak of as far as being able to get in shape. You know, it had a long way to go in that respect. And he would kind of creep her at the gym and stare at her and, mm-hmm. And start hitting on her and like kind of sending her flowers and all these weird, like no game sort of things to try to get a girl's attention. And then he's literally just staring at her while she's working out one day, and standing next to him is her boyfriend, also staring at her. And Buddy Boy, the creepy short, kind of goofy dentist guy, looks up at the boyfriend and he's like, oh yeah, that girl's going to be mine one day. And the boyfriend's like, oh really? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I've got money. I've got power. I'm, you know, like girls like that. I can get a girl like that. And he's like, oh really? And he's like, yeah, you know, I, no problem. I'll be able to pull this guy away from her sucker boyfriend. And he's like, oh really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh yeah. Why, do you know who he is? And he's like, yeah, it's me. And, then the other guy's face just went white, and he just turned around and walked away. And he actually, I think, canceled his membership at her gym, and that was the end of him. And the other guy didn't have the same degree of career status or power. He was younger, but he had the core confidence. He didn't have to rely on an external sort of status cue or whatever. And it was just an interesting contrast between somebody who has the core confidence and somebody who didn't. And he could stand there while this guy's saying this stuff about his girlfriend, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm eventually going to put this guy in his place, and he did it just with two words. He's like, it's me. And so that
you
other,
know, I think you really hit on it right there. You really hit on it right there, where you said he had that internal thing and not being validated by the external things.
Oh yeah, and that's what we're talking about. If that dentist guy could just straighten his life out and realize nobody, no girl and no guy cares how much money he makes or what his status is there. He just has, people have to like him for him, not for what he does.
Right. Yeah. I mean, those types of, it's really weird. Like getting in shape is kind of an intrinsic, it kind of goes intrinsically as far as confidence is concerned. It really, like we talked about, translates all the way across. Money is like alcohol. Money is one of those things that it just amplifies who the person is. So if a person is already arrogant and is an asshole and is really kind of self-confident, or not self-confident, but self-conscious about himself, and is always trying to, you know, prove himself and that type of thing, all money's going to do is make that person, it's just going to amplify that effect. If a person's really cool, all money's going to do is make him even cooler because, you know, he's going to figure out ways to contribute and, you know, help other people out. And
well, because the money just makes you more resourceful. So if you know what to do with that resource, you just, yeah, you're going to be more of a jerk with it, or you're going to be just, like you said, cooler. You're going to be more useful or helpful to people. Like that guarantee, that guy, you know, a guy like the dentist in the story, he purposely buys a flashy car to show off. He purposely buys things to show off, but he's still a douchebag. Whereas the guy with the confidence, if he has more money, he's probably doing things for people with that money.
Right. Or reinvesting or it's really weird.
Or even just setting an example of what to do with it. Like just it's not he doesn't use it as a way of showing off is the point.
Sure. I mean it's kind of funny. I mean it's I know we're kind of going off on a tangent, but it's all relative. All this stuff is relative because like I said, Jason's kind of you've kind of come across and said that, you know, the way people have treated you since you've gotten in better shape has changed dramatically, you know, and things like that. And so that
actually, can we get into that?
Yeah, let's get into that real quick. I mean, this is going to be a longer interview, but
well, this is part two.
Part two.
We've already agreed that this, at least I've already decided that this will be part two.
Okay.
I was wondering about that one about 20 minutes ago, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So, where do you want me to begin?
Oh, well, just I guess now part – I mean tell us how that's changed, the way people are reacting, interacting with you, how that's changed this time around.
I guess what the biggest change that I've actually had to make because of that is I've had to actually relax, concentrate on not being that douchebag that you're talking about because it's all handled. There's a just being a nice guy is the biggest change that I personally had to make because all of a sudden, you know, people are coming up and don't get me wrong, I still fail every now and then. I'm still a jackass sometimes. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But
I totally believe that. But go on.
Hey, thanks guys. You know, yeah, no you guys are so kind. Appreciate that.
Hey, we're bigger than you.
Okay. I need to go gain weight now. All right. Anyway, just being a nicer guy, smiling more often, treating people well, treating them as, you know, hey, they're a person too, not just, all that stuff that happened before came from my own insecurity, my own not being happy with my look, not my own, well, something's wrong because, you know, what I'm doing isn't working. But that actually became a part of me even after even after reaching 1.5 and stuff like that. And then I realized one day, hey, I got to change this stuff because you know what? I ain't that guy no more. I'm not that guy.
So is this a lower effort state then?
Oh, absolutely. It's don't get me wrong. Every now and then I got to remind myself, I go, oh, okay, I was a jerk again or something like that. But, it's not, you know, you don't beat yourself up about it. You just learn from it and move on. Mm-hmm. But you're going to find that it does become more a part of you. You relax a lot more.
Yeah. So after you've changed based on the way people are reacting to you, you basically just...
You have to because, you know, people are reacting to you better. And then suddenly what happens if you're not reacting well compared to how well they're reacting to you?
So there's a definite difference here.
Oh, big time. Without a doubt. I mean, you know, I hate to put it this way, you know, because I've made a concentrated effort in the beginning, well, not in the beginning, but, you know, several months ago, to say hi to all the regulars at the gym, for example, you know, they're now greeting me every day I come in. Or they're saying, hey, what's up? You know, they'll help me out when I need it and stuff like that, you know. And that just makes it easier to be cool to them, too. Mm-hmm. It's like this whole reciprocated thing comes because they look at me a certain way and I actually return that. Or even in some cases, you know, here's an example I got. This is off topic a little bit, but when I was back in Los Angeles and stuff like that, I met a WWF wrestler, Triple H. The guy, I could not believe how huge he was, but that's another topic. Mm-hmm. He was sitting at an outside cafeteria, and I come by, I'm walking by. I'm not really one of those starstruck kind of guys or anything like that, but I was like, is that guy? he noticed me looking at him. He's like, hey, man, how's it going? And that just totally disarms everybody. You're a cool guy all of a sudden. You know, you're nice. You're human. You're approachable. You're not some jackass. And that changes everything. That perception of you changes everything. And how you react to it is what it determines how that thing goes from that point on. Is this going to develop or is it going to devolve?
Yeah. I had the same experience. I met The Undertaker in the gym.
How big is he?
He's big. I mean, I don't think he's 7 foot, but he's easily 6'9", 6'10". I mean, he's a tall guy. Mm. And he literally is probably the nicest guy I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm saying that like legitimately. I was shocked. And he, you know, he was taking pictures with people and being cool. It was really weird because he would take a picture, like he'd be cool and smiling and all this stuff. But when it came picture time, he'd get that scowl on his face. I'm like, all right, that's a guy I'm used to, but not this guy, right? And so it kind of brings me back to kind of what you were talking about, is that learning to smile, like getting, if you can get in shape and then be cool, it's really strange what effect it has. It almost makes you even that much cooler. It's shocking because a lot of people expect you to be an asshole. When people look good, for some reason people think that people are going to be conceited. Just kind of like what you were talking about, your experience with Triple H, kind of like my experience with The Undertaker or whatever. People expect, you know, these people to be conceited. But if you can be really cool and smile and say, hey, how are you? Things like that. It is a dramatic effect.
Think of how simple what you just said was. If you can smile and say, hey, how are you?
Sure.
Or even break the ice yourself. You get somebody who's just looking at you or something, just like, hey, what's up, man? It's just something really simple. It changes everything.
Sure. And a lot of guys might not understand this because it just seems kind of far out. But let me put it in a different perspective. Let's say you drive up in a Lamborghini, right? You drive up to a restaurant in a Lamborghini. You get out. And everybody's looking at you, and instead of just walking in and passing by everybody, you just walk up to people, start shaking hands and meeting them and saying, hey, what's up, man? You guys look pretty cool. What you guys got going on tonight? What do you think is going to have the bigger effect? I mean, oh. I know which, yeah, by far, right?
But yeah, exactly. you'd have a giant entourage with you within minutes.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm. what you have done is you have completely blown out of the water the expectation that people are going to have, because people are used to, you know, other people like that being in a certain way, thinking that it's snobby, thinking that people are, you know, this way because of the way they look or because of the status they have. And
you know,
power.
It almost seems that they're expecting it, but they're also hoping to be wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, and then when you prove them wrong, they're just like, wow, that's great.
It just blows the doors off.
Mm. Oh, dude, I tell that Undertaker story all the time. Like when stuff comes up about people, like talking about people they've met and people being cool, I'm like, I mean, literally, I tell it all the time. Like it was probably one of the more influential moments of my life of meeting someone that was, you know, famous, but that cool. And I hear Al Pacino's like that too, just really, really, really cool guy. But you can be that guy. And that's the funny thing about it. You get in this type of shape and people have this expectation and it makes it a lot easier to maneuver in any situation.
All right. Well, this was pretty good. This was a lot of stuff. Let's wrap this up. So where are we, let's just do parting shots. Jason, you have a parting shot?
Why don't you guys go first? Let me think about it.
I'm going to ask you one more question because we never touch on health or anything like that. But how do you feel nowadays? Like when you wake up in the morning, is there a different feeling? Do you have more energy throughout the day that you feel like? Did you have any kind of feelings of depression earlier or anything like that? I mean, is there just a different feeling of waking up in the morning now and being productive versus then, or, you know, let's talk about that for just a second, because I think, it's kind of a abstract thing, but we never really touch on that type of stuff. But I think the transformation was so dramatic that it bears kind of touching on.
Again, I think the biggest thing in this regard was mental, maybe even mm-hmm. psychological to the point. I'm a lot more relaxed in terms of just dealing with things, dealing with people, and even being accepting of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I wake up better or anything like that, unfortunately, because, you know, I'd rather stay in bed most days. But, yeah, the handling of daily life, sure, there's times where you just want to, you know, choke somebody or something like that, but, you know, it doesn't, that kind of thought, that kind of thing doesn't fuel, that kind of mindset doesn't fuel anything anymore. It's that there's just a lot of ease, no matter how busy things are or how crazy things get. I can't even put it into words right now because I've never actually thought about this particular concept before,
but
until right now.
Sounds like it has something to do with lower stress.
Yeah. What it sounds
probably.
Like to me. Yeah, it sounds like to me, and because this happened to me and it's happened to some other guys as well, that when you start to get in better shape, a lot of the conflicts that come up in your life, you stop taking as personal attacks. Like when you're out of shape or maybe you're heavier and you kind of look worse, like the things that kind of come across, like when something happens or whatever and somebody kind of gets mad about it, you take it as an attack on you personally and not that they're mad about the situation. But it's just weird.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, Jason, go ahead.
And a lot of the... You know, before, when I'd go to the gym, I'd see everybody in better shape than me and all this kind of stuff. And that even just added more negative self-image. It added more stress, as you guys have alluded to already. And that's just completely out of life at this point. You know what? Yeah. It's almost like a new set of eyes. And I actually feel, you know, a kind of I feel not sorry. I feel kind of pity for some guys and girls who are at the gym trying to – and it's genuine. It's not fake. You know, it's like, these guys are just wasting their time, you know, but they just, if they only eat less, you know, like the chicks who are at the aerobics class or something like that, thinking that they're actually doing something when in fact they're just wasting their time. You know, my wife says the same thing about them. And it's just like, there's this whole new set of eyes that happens and you stop comparing yourself. I stopped comparing myself. And that just, that's freeing.
Yeah, you definitely get a different – if you're in the right headspace, which I hope most of the guys are, you begin to empathize with people a lot more. It's not – like I say, it's not an I'm better than you.
Oh, yeah, you
no,
go
not
scenario.
At
it's
at
really
all.
Just empathizing with where they're at because you were there. You were like, all right, dude.
No,
it
switches from judgment to empathy.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, even back when, like, if people read the Adonis Manual or whatever, or even just get the free part where we talk about, you know, kind of the backstory of Adonis, you know, even you, John, when you were talking about when you were using and you had the guys that thought they were getting all big, even you were empathizing with them to a certain degree, going, dude, what you're trying to do isn't possible, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was that you just...
Kind of feel sorry for them because they have this belief that
they're slugging away and they've got their protein shake with them in the gym and they're timing their set rest intervals literally with a stopwatch and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what do you think you're doing here? Like, do you want to know how this works or not? And it's just, yeah, you kind of just, what do you do? Do you help them? Do you? I just kicked them out of the gym, but that's probably not the best thing to do. But like, you know, like it's so like Jason's having the feelings now where he just looks and goes, well, I mean, if you were a willing student, I could help you, but I can't force you. So, and that's comes back to the T&E story. Like some of them are ready and some of them just aren't yet.
And you know what? There's no point in getting into this argument.
No. Yeah. But that's the thing people use, like, you may have gotten into that argument earlier, and now you realize it's a futile effort. It's sort of some people will never come around; they just won't. And some people will.
Well, in fact, you know, a lot of times we can relate to that, like you guys were saying.
Well, I think we're, I don't know, Howard, you got anything else? I think we should actually start wrapping this up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think all of this is good. I think even though we really went out on some really abstract phenomenon that I like touching on, because these are real effects of what happens when you get in this type of shape. They've happened to me. They've happened to other people. I'm glad we touched on the fact that you actually have to change how you act to a certain degree. Not because you're actually changing. You have to change back to kind of a more virgin state. If that, you know, because you know when you're out of shape, you're basically you're responding to people in kind of a damaged state. And so basically what you have to do is kind of let that damaged state go, because it's not, you're not damaged anymore. You know, so you can actually maneuver and do things in this kind of, I'll call it a virgin state. It's almost like a little kid state where, you know, you don't have those experiences to go back on anymore. It's almost like you have to kind of put that out of your mind, because they're not who you are anymore. You're back to who you really are, which is this person. And, you know, people can appreciate that. And I like that, because that's why I'm in this. That's why I'm in this. I mean, yeah, getting people in shape and, you know, people want to be fitness models and stuff, you know, that's cool and dandy. You know, but for me, it's all about people getting the realization that they can do more with their life. And this is just one springboard for that.
Fair enough.
So that's my perspective.
Jason?
I can't think of anything anymore, guys. As far as I know, there's really nothing left to say.
All
I'm
right,
sure
then.
When we hang up, there'll be more. So,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'll probably post it in my blog sometime.
Great.
Sure.
Cool.
All right, John, JB, what you got, bud?
That's it. I just want to thank Jason for being on with us again.
Yeah, definitely,
hey,
man.
It's fun talking with you guys. I like the melding of the minds and stuff like that. This is cool.
Yeah, well, you know, just don't get too cocky. Remember.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm glad I can sit here and listen to your guys' greatness. How about that one?
Oh, perfect.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. That's how we want to be interacting.
I'm glad that we have that understanding now.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we must stay the gurus and the leaders, and everybody must bow.
Okay, that's enough.
I think we've been on the phone too long here, all right?
Yeah, we have.
That would get ridiculous. That's fine. All right, guys. Well, like for John Barbin, Jason Haynes, I'm Brad Howard, and that is your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.